My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Some of you may know, it's not a secret, that Jim McInvale is a very devout Catholic. I will leave it at that. He is a very, very devout Catholic, and it drives much of what he does. He has been supportive of Texas Right to Life, and he's their speaker at an event, and we've visited off-air about this in the past, and he was very upset. On September 1st, the heartbeat bill passed. The heartbeat bill says that once there is a discernible heartbeat, you can no longer abort the baby, which is assumed to be about 6 weeks, as I understand. We'll get clarification on that in just a moment. Well, the left is apparently very concerned about abortions that have not yet happened. They're very concerned that in the future, there's going to be a woman who gets pregnant. And we kind of figured out how that works. There's going to be a woman who gets pregnant, and maybe she'll get pregnant again and again and again and again, as we've seen some of these women say that they do. And she's going to want to abort this baby, and she might have to drive to Louisiana to do that. They're very upset about this. Very upset. She should be able to kill her baby wherever she wants. And they're so upset about this that Max said, Michael, what can be done? These people are advocates for life, and they're getting death threats. Under no circumstances should there be death threats because of people's political values and political views. And yet, do you ever notice it only goes one direction? These people who talk about peaceful tolerance and fear rhetoric and vitriol and intolerance, these people make death threats and they carry them out. So it's pretty scary stuff. Elizabeth Graham is the longtime executive director and leader of Texas Right to Life. She's our guest. Elizabeth, what happened exactly?
Well, good morning. Great to be with you. Clarification, I am not the executive director. I am the director of external operations.
You have to be executive director, Elizabeth, because when I put you in my phone years ago, it was executive director. And whatever it says on the V card, Jim Grace gave me this 15 years ago. And if it's on the V card, then that has to be your title. You can't change the V card.
Okay, that's cool. Okay. I can live with that.
Okay, all right.
So the Heartbeat Act passed the legislature, and the Heartbeat Act does not ban abortion, but says you have to check for a heartbeat. And if you find the heartbeat, then you cannot proceed with the abortion. That's usually about 6 weeks. The amazing, brilliant strategy on this particular law is that instead of going through the federal and the state courts, which is what the abortion crowd historically does, to clamor undue burden, women's health care, unconstitutional, this enforcement is through civil enforcement, which means any person can sue the abortionist for a criminal illegal abortion after the heartbeat is detectable. And so the other side is up in arms. They're apoplectic. Their heads are spinning. They have no idea how to stop this law because the law is actually working. The business at abortion clinics is way down, and over about 100 to 150 babies per day are being saved in Texas since the heartbeat law went into effect. And so since no judge has overturned the law or said the law is unconstitutional, the judges don't actually have jurisdiction, the abortion industry has filed temporary restraining orders. They've sued Texas Right to Life and some other pro-life activists saying that we can't sue them. And so they're making a lot of noise to distract from the fact that the heartbeat law is saving lives, and they can't find a way to stop it. So they've engaged in lawsuits, and attacks. And the attacks have come in the way. First, they started as nasty voicemails, and then they started as nasty emails, and now they've elevated to bomb threats and physical threats to Texas Right to Life, because they know we spearhead pro-life efforts in the Capitol. And so we had the bomb squad come to Texas Right to Life last week, and like you said, Mattress Mack is a friend and an ally. And we said, hey, here's what today looks like in the pro-life movement. And so he was very alarmed and concerned, which was so kind of him, as anyone would be, regardless of your political views. When a friend or an ally or a neighbor has a bomb threat, that isn't something you take cavalier. And so the bomb squad came. Kudos to law enforcement and the Harris County Police Department who responded. They were very patient, generous, thorough, kind-hearted, and they cleared the entire building, and they said there's no threat. It's a ghost mystery package. There's no harm. And since then, our team has been back to work, of course. They didn't really slow us down. We just had to rearrange some of the way we reached out to pregnant women and continued our program. And since then, we've hired full-time security at the office and for some of our executives, and there will be beefed-up security at our upcoming events, and we're continuing to work on our outreach to women and to save lives in all the areas that we do. And it's just very troubling because, you know, when the left and the abortion industry has launched attacks on pro-lifers and some would say stolen elections and, you know, the angry mobs in 2013 when they came to the Capitol to block another bill, you know, the pro-lifers are peaceful, prayerful sidewalk counselors. You know, everything Texas Right to Life does is legal, peaceful, and prayerful. And so this is really just another layer of the conspiratorial crimes that the left is willing to commit and engage in to push their agenda. And the biggest part of their agenda is the slaughter of unborn children. And that's just so tragic.
If people want to support your efforts, what can they do? I see the website is TexasRightToLife.com. What else can they do?
Well, first of all, pray. Pray is the most important part always. Pray for the success of our program so that we do reach women and empower them to choose life. Pray for the protection of our staff, and we always ask for, you know, wisdom and guidance so that what we do is honorable and advances the kingdom and the pro-life cause. That's the first one. Secondly, they can become involved in the pro-life movement either through Texas Right to Life or at a local pregnancy center. They can be a liaison at their church to spread the message. They can call our office to see how they can get involved or volunteer. They can come to the event this Saturday where there will be beefed up security and there'll be a number of bomb sweeps before the event. There are a number of ways for people to be involved. So you're right, TexasRightToLife.com. We do have a website to take anonymous tips on for abortions that are still being committed after the heartbeat. That's prolifewhistleblower.com. GoDaddy was hosting that site, and they canceled us. And so we are migrating and moving to another host, which is confidential. And that prolifewhistleblower.com will be up and operational again once our security, web security and internet security is strengthened. That will be up and running again. So there are a number of ways. I'm not sure if that answered your question, Michael.
It very thoroughly answers our question. You keep up the great work. You've been doing it for a long time, and your passion has never waned. There are people walking this earth making a difference who are here because of your efforts. Elizabeth Graham,
very
Texas
kind.
Right to Life. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
All right. There you have it. I repeat, all the violence comes from the left. I am an addictive personality, and so I fear things to which I could become addicted, like gambling or prescription drugs. But I want to sleep better, and I want to ache less. Try, as I do, thetrustedlab.com, delivered to your home. Texas-based, completely legal CBD that has given me great results. TheTrustedLab.com.
Coming out of my cage and I've been
year is this song? 2005? Do you know that, or are you estimating? Well, you're never wrong. I get it. You probably are. This sounds like such a 90s song to me. I don't hate the 90s. It doesn't do a lot for me. 2003. Okay, you looked it up? Well, that's the most effort you've expended in a while. You must have been curious yourself. What happened? So you were done? Well, I was just going to say that this song is kind of what all 90s music sounds like to me. It's not terrible. It's not terribly soulful either. I mean, you listen to the 70s, there's some stuff there that moves you. You listen to the 90s and you go, all right, kind of angst-ridden, pimple-faced white kids living in the suburbs talking about their struggle. Not, you know, not exactly comfortably numb, but hey, you know, struggle's real, I suppose, out here in Sugar Land. Now I'm telling you, this Snot Sucker segment, it's going to take off. So I go in there, and she said, well, I'd like to do you got a lot of sinus congestion. I'd like to do a rinse. You hear a rinse, you're like, I can do a rinse. Rinse, I was like, nah, you know, rinse my mouth out, you know, yeah, it's a rinse, yeah. So she says, okay, keep your mouth closed. Okay, well, I'm kind of a mouth breather, but all right, okay, I'll keep my mouth closed. And I want you to just keep repeating the letter K, 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 K. I said, well, that feels weird and mildly racist. And she said, well, that pushes your palate up. Close your mouth and do it. Close your mouth and do it. Click, 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 click. It forces air up onto your palate, which pushes your palate up. Because remember, she's shooting the saline up one nostril. It's swirling around in the labyrinth of your sinus cavities, and then it's coming out the other side. Except she's shooting. You know when you go to the dentist? I think she just borrowed a bunch of dental equipment. Because you know how the dentist has the when they're doing the fluoride. They do the one that has the water, and then they do the one that sucks. I love that sucking thing. Hold on, I got some more. Oh, it's exactly those pieces. I think she just repurposed them, right? I'm not even joking, because they look exactly the same. So she's standing there already, and she says, you know, tilt your head, and my brows must have been furrowed. And I said, how deep are you going in with that thing? And she said, good grief. Like, I'm, you know, the wuss here. Well, you're not having it done to you, lady. So she didn't go too deep in there. I didn't mind. And I actually kind of halfway liked the experience, even if it felt a little bit like being waterboarded, because when she started, it's going through there and it's fine. But then I guess it got up in there deep into the tunnels, because when it first started, you're like, oh, this is fine. But in a minute, that sucker thing on the other side, that sucker thing's like, uh-oh, we run into some, you know, some heavy traffic here. And all of a sudden it starts going, I'm like, what in the world? What do I have up in there? Well, it's a sludge or something. It's like the Ghostbuster sludge up in my nose. And she alternated between good boy, and your stuff is really, really bad. So there was this alternating, wow, this is really fantastic because it's so bad, right? Like if you don't have bad allergies, then she would just shoot it up and suck it out and there'd be nothing, you know, there's no snot sucking to do. But in my case, apparently I had some stuff up in there. So she finishes and she said, you know what? You did pretty well. Well, my eyes are watering. I got snot everywhere. I got slobber all over. And I'm wiping myself steadily. All right. All right. And then she goes, that was really good. Really good. Okay. All right. I did it. I lasted. Okay. And she goes, let's do another one. Oh, she said, yeah, the second one. Now we're really going to. Oh, man, we went. All I can say is I woke up this morning feeling like a new man. So go see Dr. Snotsucker. I said, do you mind if I refer to you kind of like Dr. Pimple Popper as Dr. Snotsucker? And she said, well, okay, that seems a little weird. I said, it's all about branding. I said, I could say you do sinus rinses, but that's kind of boring. But Dr. Snotsucker, I mean, everybody loves Dr. Pimple Popper, right? People love Dr. Pimple Popper, so you'd be Dr. Snotsucker, because that's a great service to do for people. And in case you're wondering, I had a mild infection in my ear. Yeah. Well, yeah, because I had an ingrown hair, and it led to a pimple, and you know how I am with pimples. And so apparently I got in there and dug on it for too long. Every time it would scab over, I'd dig some more. Michael, I was listening to you this morning, and I love your show. I love what you do. Thank you for having Right to Life on, and thank you for having that manufacturing man on. And thank you for you know, always standing up for our veterans. But you were talking about an infection in your ear, and I was eating breakfast, to which I say, it's 9:25. You should be done with breakfast already. You're eating too often. You're snacking. That's why you're obese, and you're at risk of getting COVID and dying. So it's not my fault, right? You need to be done with your breakfast by now. In 35 minutes, we're going to talk to the CEO of Dig World, a construction-themed adventure park. How cool does that sound? Wind gusts of 45 to 55 miles an hour still occurring across southern and some eastern parts of the Houston metropolitan area, with gusts generally in the 30s to the north. I don't have a good number yet on how many people lost power, but a fair number of people lost power. Here we are. Hundreds of thousands of customers were without power as Hurricane Nicholas rolled through Houston. As of 6:30 this morning, CenterPoint reported more than 413,000 customers in the immediate Houston area were without power. The outage map did not immediately provide an estimate as to when the lights would come back on. Houston Public Works says that many traffic lights throughout the city are out. Well, what else is new? That our traffic lights are always out. Flashing red lights should be reported to 311. In Brazoria County and portions of Galveston County, Provider, Texas, New Mexico Power reported there were 44,000 customer outages. The power restore time there is estimated to be about 1 p.m. today. Some of the earliest and largest CenterPoint power outage numbers were reported on Galveston's West End late Monday night. Ramon notes that 100% of people with a generator from Generator Supercenter have power. I did not call the owners of Generator Supercenter this morning, which I normally will do. But when I do, they're always aggravated on a day like today, because I call over and go, you should be happy. You're going to sell a lot of generators. And they're not happy, because people call up, you know, 9 o'clock this morning, and they want their generator at 2 o'clock. Well, think about how many people are calling and asking, well, we got to go pull a permit. We got to put a concrete slab. We've got to wire it. There's a couple of things necessary. Maybe don't call and expect your generator within 3 hours of that day. It's like when you go to a restaurant and they just opened, and the owner is worried, and you go, oh, it's a good problem to have. You got too many customers. If it's not their first restaurant, they've been around for a while, they know, I got to get this right, because people will come, have a bad experience, and never come back. They will literally never come back. So that's the same way here. Ramon, what's the difference between Joe Biden and an elevator? An elevator could raise Hunter Biden.
You've got...
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
The Michael Berry Show. Being a friend... Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. I'm not ashamed to say, I hope it always will stay this way.
You're listening to the Michael Berry Show. You might not agree with half of it, but the other half you probably don't understand anyway, because he's talking out of his head. I used to babysit for Michael's mother and them when they was working. And Michael's brother, Christopher, he's nice. He didn't have no problem at all. Typical young white man, polite and everything. But his brother, Michael Bear, always want to argue with me. I was sitting there trying to iron them people's clothes. And Michael Bear is sitting up there talking about, do you feel like you are more Aristotelian logic or are you more cognac or some kind of philosophy? I don't know what he's talking about. Boy, I put that steam on that iron and sprayed it right upside his head. I fogged up them old thick glasses. That boy used to wear some big old chunky-eyed, four-eyed son of a... Looked like Nelson Rockefeller in eighth grade. Dr. Williams told him, he said, Michael, you're not burning the candle at both ends. You like a damn menorah lit up in here. All eight of them just blazing. Got moonshine, country club, wife and secretary of state, got two children. What is their names? It seemed like one of them is Marcus. What that other boy name is?
David Crockett.
That's right, Crockett. Crockett, Texas. Remember what, too? That's where we evaporated. Crockett, Texas, after that hurricane.
Oh, Lord.
You know when these people call Michael Berry's show and they're trying to make a print, and Michael stop them right in the middle of their sentence and say, how much money you make every year? I wish y'all damn people would hang up on his face. That ain't none of your business. Boy, what's wrong with you? Don't ask people that. You know, he have narcissism personality disorder. That's why the only person I know that would put their own brand of moonshine out and put a picture of their big mouth on there, their unshaved beard, smoking a cigar, sitting up looking like a young Fidel Castro selling hard, hard, hard liquor. Watusa said what need to be did. What you told him?
32 malt liquor.
Watusa say if they're going to have a Macabre moonshine, it need to be a Shirley Q malt liquor, Junior. That's what we call the small ones, Junior.
You smoke.
Tops never stops, saving you more.
On this day in 1985, the TV series The Golden Girls debuts on NBC. They took a seven-year-old song by Andrew Gold that had reached number 25 in 1978 and had a jingle singer named Cynthia Fee redo it. And that show ran forever. It was actually decent. It was good quality programming. I mean, it wasn't my show, but it was quality programming. So Portland's mayor said, we're not going to do any business with Texas because once there's a heartbeat, they don't let the mom kill the baby. So he pushed for a boycott of the state of Texas. Okay, if you say so. I don't know how we'll survive without the city of Portland's business, but we'll try. We will. We'll try. So the mayor of Portland is worried about our abortion bill. He's really worried that people in Texas be able to have an abortion once the baby's outside. I guess to just be able to kill your child at any point. I don't know how old the child could be, but you can still kill him. Meanwhile, in the city where he's worried about Texas abortion bill, the Oregonian reports people calling 911 to report a September 4th shootout at a Pearl District restaurant and other emergencies in the following half hour waited an average of more than 7.5 minutes before a dispatcher answered. Do you know how long 7.5 minutes is when you're watching a shootout? Let's start. Waiting, ring, ring. Ring, ring. What's going on, man? They're shooting. It's only been 10 seconds. It's going to be 42 times more, 48 times more, 45 times more. Ring, ring. Dude, get them here. They're not picking up. It's only been 20 seconds. It's going to be 7.5 minutes. Dude, there's people dying. It's only been 30 seconds. It's going to be another set. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Tell the mayor to do something. He's doing a press conference on Texas abortion bill. There's a shootout. There's people being left dead. They're bleeding to death. It's only been 50 seconds. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Are you on hold? No, they hadn't picked up yet. Ring, ring. It's been 1 minute. That's 1/7 of 7 minutes. It was actually 7.5. 1/7 is 14% of the time they waited on hold. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. But the mayor is worried about whether people in Beaumont, Texas, can get an abortion the day before their baby's born. The lengthy hold time is far above, ring, ring, we're at 1.5 minutes, the national standard of 15 to 20 seconds for 911 calls. So let me see. 7.5 minutes on the left, 15 seconds on the right. I think the alligator is eating 7.5 minutes. And the latest example of serious problems plaguing the city's emergency dispatch system. Well, let's not worry about the city's emergency dispatch system. 2 minutes. Ring, 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 ring. Let's worry about Texas abortion bill. One man on social media complained that he was on hold for more than 9 minutes when he tried to report the shooting at Everybody Eats PDX. The Oregonian Oregon Live then sought public records from emergency dispatch to check what happened. 2 minutes, 30 seconds. We're not even to 1/3 of the... No, actually we are. We're at exactly 1/3 of the amount of time you would be on hold to call in shootings, a mass shooting at a bar. Ring, 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 ring. But the mayor is worried about an abortion bill over 1,000 miles away in Texas. That's where he's focusing his time. That's like Lena Hidalgo and Sylvester Turner, worried about everything other than our crime rate, our drainage, our traffic, our lights. Ring, ring. 3 minutes. 4.5 to go.
This is...
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
The Michael Berry Show.
How are you? Have you been all right?
We just passed 7.5 minutes. Lonely. 9-1-1, how can I help you? Never mind, they're all dead now. That's called opportunity cost. Whatever you're doing at any given time, the opportunity cost is that which you are not doing. So, talking to a friend of mine yesterday named Bryant Reckling, and I always encourage people to find mentors in their business. 10 years ago, Matt Bryce and his wife went to Johnny Carrabba, who, by the way, comes up on this list a lot. You know, they don't write articles about how many of your, I guess you could say, competitors you take under your wing and teach them the tricks of the trade and mentor them till they get their legs under them and become successful. That's the kind of stuff that is the mark of real leadership. And you'd be surprised how many times I have told restaurateurs, you need to find a mentor, somebody that is successful in your industry, and that it ends up being Johnny Carrabba. That's who it was for Matt Bryson. Now he's blowing up. 3 restaurants, they're adding a 4th in the Woodlands. His concept is killing it. People just absolutely love it. Anyway, so I was talking to Bryant Reckling yesterday, and we're talking about his business, and I was giving him some advice, and he was talking about the things he does. And I said, well, that's fine, but if you're doing all the cooking, then you can't be shaking hands, right? You can't be strategizing. I told Dr. Mary Bowden yesterday while I'm getting my snot sucked out. I said, I love that you're doing this procedure for me. She's doing these. I said, you look tired. And she said, I am tired. It has been all day, every day, especially since I came on your show the first time with people, with patients. And I said, how many patients are you going to see? And she said, well, I'm doing, most of these are telehealth. So people don't have to drive in. We do it, I don't know, Zoom or whatever. You guess you go to BreatheMD. You ever done this, Ramon? Galati does this, did this during COVID. The whole thing. And the doctors love it because, like for Galati, he lives out in Sugar Land. He'd have to drive into the medical center. He's the liver doctor. And instead, he gets to work from his house. And he said, from the minute I get up to the minute I go to sleep, I can see more. Yeah, half-ass it and get full paid. Exactly. Yeah, that's my point. So anyway, so she said, I'm doing these telehealth. My buddy Michael Petru. His business has exploded to such a degree. Obviously, he has to have more trainers that he trains, and then they go out because he can't keep up with all our listeners that are going to him now. But, I mean, even I did from Colorado on Zoom, and he realized – or not Zoom. I don't know how to do Zoom. Facebook. FaceTime. What is it? FaceTime. Whatever. I don't know that stuff. Stop laughing. But there is an opportunity cost to everything you do. So if you say to yourself – and not just restaurants. I'm just fascinated by restaurants. I'm fascinated by BreatheMD. I'm fascinated by – you know, a lot of businesses, but when at whatever you're doing at any given time, if that's not your highest and best use, then you got to figure out a way to do that better, because being busy is not an end in and of itself. And if your goal is to scale, and it doesn't have to be, not every business needs to grow. Some businesses are very good doing what they do and doing it well. And that's where nobody should pressure you into a second location or more employees or more square footage just because that's an ego thing. You don't need to do that. We stopped focusing on getting more affiliates, which used to take a lot of my time a couple of years ago, because I realized just do your show well, your biggest growth opportunity is in podcast and streaming. So just spend all that time you're spending trying to bring in more stations, because having 25 is more impressive than 20, and 20 is more impressive than 10. But what really matters is doing a great show, and that enabled me to focus on the content. And guess what? Content is king. We just kept rising up the ranks to number 9 and in influence, and number 15 in size of audience with 5 million, which was 3.5 million just a few years ago. So now we can grow the show without adding more stations, because we do it by podcast. Millions of people per month listen to our podcast. And so just making better content draws more people in. But I'm telling my buddy Bryant Reckling yesterday, there's an opportunity cost to everything you do. So like on Saturdays, they do a burger on Saturday. He's really more of a food to go and catering guy, but he makes a really good burger. So I said, well, how many burgers did you do on Saturday? 122. I said, who cooked them? Me. I said, well, that's awful, because everybody comes in True Craft. It's over on Campbell, right behind Jonathan's Rub, right across the street from Federal American Grill, which is why we go hang out there. Love Federal American Grill. If you haven't been to Federal American Grill, you need to check it out. Not only is the food, atmosphere, everything, the drinks, hospitality, wonderful, but the business is owned by a guy who shares your values. And when I say shares your values, he fed every first responder who came in on Saturday, busiest day of the week. And I said, Matt, are you sure you want to do that on your busiest day of the week when you're already jam-packed? And he said, that's the right thing to do. I can't tell him to come on a day other than 9/11 just because it'd be more convenient for me. And that's what he did. And he actually did more than feed them, because he fed who they were with, because he gave you a $50 gift card if you came in. And he had way more people than he ever expected to come in that were first responders, which is cool. Back to opportunity costs. Whatever you're doing, if you're cooking, but you're the face of the business, and people don't get the face of the business. Tony Vallone used to tell me he could never take a vacation, because if you came into Tony's and he and Donna's still there every night for this reason. Donna Vallone is there. She has to be Tony and Donna now. They would split the room up in the past, but now it's just her. He used to tell me, I can't leave the restaurant, because I'd say, Tony, you never take a vacation. He said, when people come here, they don't want to look at that wall. They don't want this food. All that's part of it. They expect me to come over and fuss over them. And let me tell you, I've learned in 50 years of doing this, if I don't come over and fuss at them, it wasn't the same Tony's experience. And that's part of what they expect. They expect me to make a recommendation on the food and on the wine. They expect me to share some little tidbit of who was in here the other day. Well, I say all that to say this. If you're the mayor of Portland and you're spending your time focused on an abortion bill down in Texas, the opportunity cost is you're not spending your time on the nuts and bolts of the job that you and only you can do, which is making sure the 911 system is working so people aren't ring, 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 left on hold for 7.5 minutes calling in a shooting in progress. Might be nice if we tell the cops sooner rather than later, huh? So go look at Lena Hidalgo, the Comandante's Twitter feed. Go look at Sylvester Turner. Hey, look, guys, if y'all want to be a talk show host, come join the ranks. Come on in. The water's warm. It's fine. But why don't you do your job first? Because it's clear you're not. My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com.